Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to mothers and grandmothers listening to this morning, as we are going to look at some word pictures of motherhood as found in the scriptures. Before we continue, let's commit our meeting to the Lord. Our Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity to hear from your word, to contemplate the scriptures, and even in through this, to honor mothers and grandmothers. We pray that the Spirit of God may have liberty with our minds and hearts as we consider this and learn lessons from these word pictures of motherhood. And so we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Mother's Day has not always been around or observed, though it is very old in nature and origin. It's recorded in ancient Greece that there was a celebration sometime every spring to honor mothers. In the Middle Ages, a custom called Mothering Sunday, which was held on the fourth Sunday of Lent, apprentice children were released to attend church as a family, and they would bring cakes or little gifts and became termed going a mothering. In fact, the United Kingdom still has Mother's Day at this time, the fourth Sunday of Lent. It wasn't until 1872, in America, Julia Ward Howe, of the writer of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, was suggesting for this to take place in the United States. That was later taken up by Anna Jarvis, who petitioned and lobbied for it until her death in 1905. That was then taken up by the daughter of the same name until 1914, when President Woodrow Wilson established the second Sunday of May to be Mother's Day. It was a time to acknowledge and thank mothers and grandmothers for the service and love they have provided. Also, has given us some word pictures that exemplify certain characteristics that should be a part of a believer's life. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, we'll look at our first word picture. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Now here we see the word picture, a nursing mother. This word for this nursing and an inferred mother is one who provides that nurturing care, one who gives what is needed and vital. We think of it spiritually in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, which states, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Or 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." In both these instances, we understand what it is to be a babe, understand the necessity of milk being that first nutrient that is needed, and a nursing mother providing it. And so from this, we need to see it also spiritually as spiritual babes in Christ. When one is not yet mature, they are unskilled in the word of righteousness, the importance of who the Lord is and what is needed to be rooted and grounded in Christ. But also that it needs to be pure milk, unadulterated, without contaminants in any way, and therefore vital for growth. For us as believers, and looking at this first part of this word picture, motherhood, we could ask ourselves the question, do we minister the word? Do we minister Christ? Do we minister that which is profitable for a believer, especially a young believer in Christ, to grow and mature into the full measure of the stature of Christ. While a nursing mother cherishes her own children. To cherish, and we can get the visualization here, was a word not used too many times, but was to warm, was the idea. Like a bird nestling young beneath her feathers in a nest. A little bit more different than, say, a mother hen gathering her chicks to herself for protection. This was more for tenderness and provision, a warmth given. So that of the young underneath the feathers in a nest. Warmth, cherished. Now we're thankful for mothers who have helped us visualize this spiritual reality, that there should be this cherishing that goes on, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Do we provide a place of warm fellowship, just like that bird nestling her young beneath the feathers, for those especially in the Lord and that kind of environment? Also, we see that it's not just relegated to women from this picture, but Paul said at the first, but we, this was Paul and Silas, later Timothy, in their interactions with those of Thessalonica. And what a contrast to some of the way others could and would take advantage of the flock of God. In chapter 2, verse 1, Paul would say, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we had been approved of by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle." But we were. And so we see the character in contrast to those who might demand or might take advantage was not so with the apostle and others. They, therefore, could see this picture could be applied to all, not just mothers and grandmothers, but to both male and female, especially within the body of Christ. But we were gentle. How's that gentleness? Well, it's just like a nursing mother cherishing her children. That's the character of this gentleness, the manner of it. And so being gentle, the word is for a kindness, a gentleness, soft words by parents to children. Almost those things when you can see a child snuggling with a parent and the parent is talking to the baby or the young child in soft, gentle terms, encouraging, being tender in their provisions. And so we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel but be gentle to all. That same word is used there. Kindness, soft words. It makes us think. Have we used harsh, insensitive words or soft words? Encouraging words, especially to those of the household of faith. This character is further declared in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." Really, this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he would say, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." The ultimate example and who we learn from. But we can see the word picture in motherhood as a nursing mother. It's how we should be around the fellowship. How we should treat those young in the Lord especially. The Lord Jesus, when he reinstating Peter and encouraging him, we see in John chapter 21, verse 15, the first of three admonitions to him was, "Feed my lambs." The care for the young ones of the flock are on the heart of the Lord for those who are more mature. And so, who in Christ have we acted like this toward? Who have we had this tenderness and provision, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, being gentle among the flock of God? So mothers, grandmothers, we thank you for giving us a vivid picture of tender provision, especially to the household of God. For our second word picture, I'll just make a reference. It's in the Old Testament. You'll understand the word picture as soon as I mention it. It's found in Hosea chapter 13, verse 8. The Lord, and talking to the nation and their rejection and rebellion of some, the Lord says, "I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs." Now, being in the north, we understand what it would be like to come between a mama bear and her cubs. There is fierce, instinctual protection. Instantaneous. Made me think of an example in my life where we were together as a family, and my aunt had my cousin. He was a toddler and just crawling, and there's a few of us men on the floor just playing with him. And in giggles, he was crawling away from us, and I had reached out and grabbed him by the breeches of his pants and pulled him back into the fray, and he was laughing. But the look I saw in my aunt's eyes was this of a mama bear. It was a good thing we're all laughing and it was all play, for I saw the fierceness of protection instantly in the eyes, even with her smile. And so it is vivid of that protection. Well, Paul was like this, even to the Corinthians, who were like babes. They shouldn't have been at this time. They should have been almost teachers, but they were fleshly. They were of the world, but still like babes. And being just like a bear mother, Paul was fierce protection for them. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." To such an extent was this fierce protection for them and any believer, he would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." He would be as a mama bear in that situation. You may have seen some of the memes that were going around on the internet or YouTube of why God made mothers. And using these portraits, and I think the majority of them are young boys, but I think there's a few girls in there as well. And in the precarious situations they would find themselves, and if it wasn't for mothers' fierce protection, would have meant their demise maybe, or some hurt, but they were there, and it was, the idea was why God made mothers. But there is that need for providential protection. Paul would even tell Timothy about this for himself and what he should do for others. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, "O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust." Now, the very mysteries of the scriptures, who Christ is and those things, but also even the trust of the fellowship to be a guard. avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. How there's such a need for this Bear Mother's model of motherhood that fears protection, especially in our day and age. It's almost that picture that is there of the spiritual harm that could take place. It's almost like needing one who's protecting three pairs of eyes. Irma Bombach, in her tribute to her mom, said one part that these three pairs of eyes are needed. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, "What are you kids doing in there?" I mean, she already knows. Another in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course, the ones in the front that can look at a child when he or she goofs up and say, "I understand and I love you," without so much as uttering a word. There is a great need for fierce protection from deception and harm in the assembly today and in homes today with Christian mothers and grandmothers. We need to get back to the Word of God, back to the basics of a walk, a godly walk with God, needing to have those answers that are logical and reasonable for the attacks and those things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God and that are being put forth by Satan, by society, and even others because of their sin nature. The third word picture of motherhood is seen in Mark chapter 10 in a certain section. You can understand some when we look at verse 28. Mark chapter 10. Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers." It gives that word picture of the second mothers, which is loving acceptance. You've probably seen it maybe in your own family or in others for sure, and been a part of it, where a friend of one of the children comes into the home, and they almost become the nth child of that family, almost to such a degree that they're even contemplating claiming them on their taxes. But in that was the care, the tender provision, fierce protection, and loving acceptance of that one. Second, mothers. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Peter says, "Above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Hospitality, loving acceptance. We're not just talking entertaining and always trying to one-up, but truly genuine acceptance, loving acceptance, hospitality. There's a testimony given of Rosaria Butterfield. And in the third book, Gospel Comes with a House Key, it was because of loving acceptance into a Christian home and shown hospitality. Even when she actually, behind their back, were making fun of them, but going time and again, being received in that way, being accepted in that way, no strings attached. The winsome ways of hospitality and Christian love won out, and she came to know Christ. Transformed her life in many ways. And so the gospel comes with a house key. We see this in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, for a couple who It was part of their ministry and work. In Acts chapter 18, verse 3, it says, he, and that says Paul, stayed with them. This would be Aquila and Priscilla, and worked. Hospitality. They were of the same trade, tent makers, but they were received. They had moved from Rome, been kicked out. They had received the Apostle Paul and worked and ministered and labored together that way. A little bit later in the chapter, in verse 26, it says, when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, this is now Apollos, who had been known to be mighty in the scriptures, but had only known the baptism of John, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. There they worked through hospitality to work as a together as a couple, discipling and building up and encouraging in the Lord. How that can show us that even those without physical children can have many spiritual children, relationships, showing these very characteristics of motherhood, tender provision, fierce protection, and loving acceptance. Many mothers, and we remember them today, have served with faith, love, and hope in Christ through the Word of God. Again, another picture, as Paul would talk to the Thessalonians in chapter 1, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, that which keeps on going. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ produces that work. Your labor of love, that fatiguing toil. And don't mothers sacrifice and have that fatiguing toil because of their love? And patience of hope. How many a mother and grandmother labor in that way and work in that way and love in that way because of the hope that they may be those who walk in the truth in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. So we can say that mothers, grandmothers, thank you for the sacrifice of love and even the word pictures that you provide of tender provision, fierce protection, and loving acceptance. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for mothers and grandmothers and spiritual mothers and grandmothers, as it were, who have shown these realities, these spiritual truths in their lives and through it, again, as a nursing mother and tender provisions, as a bear mother, as it were, and fierce protection, but also as second mothers, and for some, and loving acceptance. Oh, Father, might it be enjoined upon us, stirred by the Spirit of God in our hearts, to be like this to others within the fellowship and who we come in contact with. For the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in your name, and Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.